All right. So we have this morning an analysis of transgenderism, and I want to take a step back and say quickly, for 2 weeks really, we've looked at this for 3 weeks already. The first week was trying to kind of lay out the reality of the problem, say these are real problems, and what answers do Christians come to the table with? Do we come to the table with social, political answers about how to fix all this stuff? Or do we come to the table with the Lord Jesus Christ? We say Christ died for sinners. Christ was raised from the dead, and this is what we offer. And as Christ impacts people's lives, he changes them. So that's what we offer as Christians, not political theory or social theory and things like that. Then we spent a couple weeks looking at the biblical texts that have to do with particularly God creating male and female as categories and assigning Adam and Eve to these categories, and not just the categories, but the very roles themselves. Okay, so we discussed that, and we looked also at Deuteronomy chapter 22, which is maybe a transvestite, most directly a transvestite or cross-dressing text. But it's more than that, as we talked about, that the woman's not to put on the things of a man. It's broader and more encompassing than just wardrobe. Right? And so that's a text that's getting closer to directly addressing transgender issues, but we don't really have any transgender texts in the Bible. We have texts about gender and sexuality that we have to understand and apply. So we've done that, and so please go look at those. Go back and listen to those, particularly the last two where we dealt with the biblical texts that are going to be in the background of what I'm talking about this morning as we analyze these things. Okay, number one, what is transgenderism? I tried to put something succinctly in these, so I will read them, and I want to go through them, talk about them a little bit. I don't want to discuss things everywhere. I do want to focus through and try to get to our Christian commitments and to navigating truthfully in faith. So what is transgenderism? Let us wet the whistle. Transgenderism, now, just as this is where a biological, physical male, okay, got male genitalia, got junk down there as male, got cells in his body that have the right chromosomes of male and all that kind of stuff. A male thinks he's wants to be a female, so therefore says they're a female, gives himself a female name, potentially uses female pronouns, that's the point, is making other people use their name and those pronouns, and so on, and wants to act as if he is a girl. And that can go as far as, you know, taking estrogen and various things like that to try and become girly, or the other way around, which is probably more the issue, to putting on the dress and garb of a woman, to going out downtown late at night acting like a woman, and then to finally getting surgery and so on to become a woman. And of course, they no more become a woman than anything else. They're a man. They're just messing around with their manhood. And the woman messing around with her womanhood, trying to be something other than God has created them to be. Now, as I mentioned before, there is confusion. People are confused. Sinners are confused. Dysphoria is a real thing. And if we find this kind of confusion, even in the physical realm, we should certainly expect to find it in the psychological, spiritual, mental realm of sinners. Okay? So we shouldn't be shocked by this, although it's kind of shocking, but this should be something that we're ready to deal with and have maybe thought through these categories a little bit. Transgenderism instantiates that, puts into place and demonstrates forth. Transgenderism instantiates the fallen urge to war against God and his created cosmos. It is war on God's law in nature. Okay? God's made things the way he's made them. And sinners say, I don't like that. I'm going to remake it. I'm doing something different around here. Okay? That's what's good to say. There's a war going on against God's law in nature. Does that make sense? That's a fundamental reality here that you need to get. It's not just people trying to figure themselves out and do what feels good, man, and all that. There's a little bit of that in there. But at the base of it, it's a war against God as he speaks in nature. We believe in natural revelation. You got some natural revelation between your legs. Who you are. Okay, how God's made you. Now that natural revelation between your legs and in your chromosomes doesn't dictate if you like to bake or not. doesn't dictate if you like to be into fashion or, you know, yard work or whatever else. Right? Those are socially constructed realities that we deal with. We live in societies, and the senses of what men and women should do change from time to time, place to place. Men and women don't change from time to time and place to place. And God calls us to take our manliness, if we're a man, and be faithful to Him with it. Or to take our womanness and to be faithful to Him with it as well. Not to act as if we're going to swap it over. So transgenderism instantiates the fallen urge to war against God and His created cosmos. Cosmos means created order. God made the cosmos. We don't use the word universe. We can avoid it. Cosmos is better. It is a war on God's law in nature. Okay. Any questions on that? This is kind of a theological, biblical analysis of what transgenderism is. Okay, that's what I'm trying to offer in these little points. Number two, or letter B. Fanned on by satanic powers, notice it's a natural reality. People are fallen, and in their fallenness, they're looking to do stuff. But it's not just fallen hearts. There's satanic power and movement here as well. Right? There's a spiritual reality, and let's not forget that. Fanned on by satanic powers, sinners attempt to self-create, self-aggrandize, and self-redeem. Does that make sense? They want to be God. It's that simple. They want to create themselves. I will be God, thank you very much. I will do what I want. I will make myself how I want to be. I will make myself great. And if salvation is even a consideration or possibility, I'll do that too. Usually it's not a consideration. We're just awesome the way we are. But anyway, you can see in Wolf's stuff, there is a sense of sin, but there really isn't much of a sense of redemption in it. We'll get there. But fanned on by satanic power, sinners attempt to self-create, self-aggrandize, and self-redeem. Put Genesis 3:5 there. Can anyone just off the top of the head tell me what's going on in Genesis 3:5 and Genesis 11:4 without looking? See, phones come out. Genesis 3, what's going on in Genesis 3, folks? It's your licensure exam. It's a really easy one. Yeah, the fall, and where the temptation of the fall is you'll be like God. You will be like God, Eve. And isn't that the beating heart of all sin? Created beings trying to be God. Okay, that's it. And the same thing goes on with 11:4, though. I don't remember what that is. What is it?
Come, let us build ourselves right. A city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth.
Okay, so that's the Tower of Babel, where the men get together and say, we're going to build us something. We're going to build a name for ourselves. We're not going to do what we've been instructed by God to do. Go fill the earth and subdue it. We're going to build a name for ourselves and build a tower to the very heavens. There is no end to idolatry in men's minds. They want to be God. Okay, this is an example of it. Does that make sense? But from self-creation, I'm going to just make myself from the inside out, from my imagination right on up. Self-aggrandizement, look at how great we are, look at what we've accomplished, and so on. That sort of thing. Not glory to God, and look at what God has done, what He's made us to do, which I think is a faithful thing. You say, wow, humanity's full of all kinds of great stuff. Praise God. Thank you, God, for these gifts. It's not that. And then finally, self-redemption. Letter C, individualism run amok in the modern world, embodied in Baptist theology. I would go ahead and tell you on that one, the individualism. Individualism plus what I put on, this is my word, internalism. Wait, what's internal? What do we mean by that? Rihanna, what do we mean by internal? Inside, yes. So internalism plus individualism, me, myself, and my little heart inside, my little mind determines what I am and what the world is as well. It's not, I'm going to figure out how I fit my spot in this world. Here's the created order into which I must fit. Right? That would be a classic understanding of an individual and his or her, you know, relation to the cosmos. God's made an ordered reality into which I have to figure out how to fit. That's not this. This is, I make my reality inside my heart and in the solitude of my own mind and heart. I know what I am And that's going to be put, even to the point if it defies everything I see out in the world, including my own very own body, I know what I am, and I'm going to make that come to pass. Or at least force you to talk the way I want you to talk and act the way I want you to act. Individualism plus internalism, that's why I'm calling that internalism, equals denial of reality, that is nature, what God's made, and substituting a confused fancy or confused fancies instead of reality, instead of nature, instead of what actually is. Within their hearts, within their little minds, this is who I am. And I will impose that upon God and nature and everyone else. Does that seem understandable? I definitely think that's what's going on. It's a little bit of my analysis. So individualism plus internalism, it's like psychological self and who I am in my heart, is the basis of this kind of substituting confused fancies for nature, for reality. Finally, these confused fancies must dominate other people, language, and even nature. Okay, does that seem true? It's not like, it'd be one thing if they say, hey, listen, I just think I'm a girl. You look at me, you see a guy, that's fine. Think what you want. But inside, I know I'm a girl. We'd say, okay, it's a little bit weird, you know. But if that's all it was, I just kind of think I'm a girl. But it's not that, because I think I'm a girl, and then I got to do stuff to change me to be a girl. Okay, well, that's different. I thought you were one. Why do you need to take estrogen? Why do you need to get genitals cut off to be a girl? I thought you already were one. Right? So obviously it's richly confused to begin with. Right? But it's not just a confusion in the mind of the person. It's got to be projected on everyone else. You must conform. You must call me by name. You must call me by pronoun, right? All the way out to the nature and God himself. I'm going to tell everyone the truth. And it's the truth of my fancy and my conceit. So recognize that going on in there. That's what's happening. I had a hand. I think it was Karen. Oh, Darlene, sorry.
So that's the thing that's really different right now. Because really, since the fall, there have been transgender people from the very beginning. But what's so different now is that that's projected onto society, and you have got to, as an employer, for instance, you can't ignore that.
We're getting there. Yeah, we're totally getting to that point, because that's where I want to go. It's like the kind of rough details of life. They're like, okay, well, this is where you run into it. This is where it's one thing to kind of theoretically think about. It's another thing when it's like, oh, I got an employee who's, or I'm an employer who has to, or I'm at school and all these different other scenarios. So you bet. So to grab that one, we've had the sexual perversions, including transgenderism to some whatever kind of way, all through history, no question. Right? This is nothing new under the sun. The strange part to us is this very, very small minority, very, very small minority of people being used as a political bludgeon for to whale everyone else and bring us into conformity, which makes me wonder how much transgender folks really want to be in the political limelight. I think very few of them do. I think very many of their handlers are keen to use them for their new civil rights. They're the new black. Yeah. So anyway, more on that. Yeah, Bill.
Consider, and they have put people in mental hospitals with pathological identifiable issues. Yet transgenderism—that's not a pathology. I mean, and it permeates through society where science is taught, or scientists' views are taught in schools or anywhere, everywhere that the Big Bang happened and that everything else is all man's construct and all my parts.
Right.
It's a pathological, I mean, it's an identifiable medical deficiency.
Now, so that's interesting because, and I'll just mention it and then move on, but, you know, something like, and I can't remember the name of the book, the kind of medical Bible of definitions of things. What's that called? Yeah, it's a big, thick one. It gives all the definitions of whatever else, right? It's on the fourth edition now, I think. Anyway, no one knows it. What good are you people? You're supposed to remember the stuff I forget. Anyway, it's funny to remember that. Yeah, so that's something where you can see the political, social handling of the medicine over the year. What is it? That's different. That's not what I'm talking about. This is the one that's like it's the Bible of healthcare as far as definitions of things. What's that?
Psychological issues.
Yeah. So that might be being the word in the title. But anyway, that's moved from recognizing something like homosexuality and certainly something like transgenderism and transvestism as like a pathological problem to totally normal. Right? So you can see there's a political handling of this stuff. Medicine isn't just medicine. It's politics. Right? I think this is something, by the way, that socialism, that Marxism does, is turns everything political. Unstoppable. There's no ground that's not political. The private life is gone, comrade. That kind of thing. So, more on that later. So, just to recap then. What is transgenderism? It's a war against God. It's a war against God and His creation, the created order that He's made that's evident. And it's done by people who are fanned on by satanic powers trying to self-create in the delusions of their own sinful mind. Create themselves, aggrandize themselves, redeem themselves, whatever. It's all about themselves. Individualism plus internalism equals a denial of reality and the foisting of fancies, individual, deluded fancies, upon the world and everyone around them with teeth nowadays, as far as that goes. Okay, so what's the Christian commitment in this? And this gets back to what I was trying to stress the first week. This is quick and easy here. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, Ephesians 4 is within the church. I'll grant that. So within the church, what kind of responsibilities do we have? But then how does that extend beyond? What responsibilities do we have that extend beyond the brothers and sisters in the church of Jesus Christ? Right, so you're getting ahead, but you're right on track. You're doing exactly what we're talking about here. So look at verse 11, and we'll read down the end of that section there. This is the risen Christ. So remember, Christ came, He died, He rose from the dead, and was received back into the heaven to His Father, and then He poured out gifts, right? New covenant gifts of the Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is the idea. Okay, verse 11. And He gave the apostles and prophets and evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, those are gifts, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. That's the church, building up of the church, building each other up, and so on. Until we attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, there's our goal as a church, as Christians, to mature manhood, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, wow, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. The church is absolutely there right now. Every wind of doctrine. This one in particular, right, is dividing evangelical Bible-believing Christians on stuff we're talking about, believe it or not. Tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness in deceitful schemes. Keep your eye on those. Rather, here we go. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Okay, so we have body talk. This is how we operate as a Christian. As Christians, we speak the truth in love. We don't speak the truth in bitterness. We don't speak falsehoods in love. We speak the truth in love. Right? I've heard people say, I said that about her, and it's true. Say, yeah, but it's not nice. It may be true, but it's ugly what you said. It may be true, but you're just saying something about somebody so you can say it and be mean. It's true, but truth isn't a justification for being unloving. Okay? We don't hold the truth with knitted brow and angry face at everybody. Though we tend to. Presbyterians move that direction. We have the truth. We have Jesus Christ, and we minister in love. First to each other, but also to the world. This is what we have. People of God, this is what we have to give. We don't have other things to give. We have Christ to give. And that's what we, and so whatever we're doing, that's got to be in our minds as far as how we're ministering to the people of the world and to each other. That we should build each other up in Christ Jesus, that we should grow up into Him, into maturity, and so on. Okay, speak the truth in love. Do we love God and people enough to quit repeating lies? Do we love God and people enough to quit telling them lies. I ran across a quote, I think, from Dostoevsky. Anyway, I think you get the idea here. It's not a quote anymore because I'm saying it of my own resources. But the idea was, you're lying. I know that you're lying. You know that I know that you're lying. And I know that you know that I know that you're lying. But you're still lying. Think about that. It's exactly what's going on. I'm a girl. No, you're not. No, you're not. God's made you a boy. God's made you a man. It's your glory to conform to the Word of God. Not to war against it. Not to defy God. Tell Him what you are. But to obey God, to submit to Him. And of course, we know that the sinful heart will not submit to God. It's a work of God. So let's trust God to work through truth spoken in love instead of lies uttered in fear. How often are we counted as fearful? And if I tell them that, they're really going to get mad. There might be some problems. As a church, they may show up with the video crew and half a dozen angry homosexuals out there. It may hurt your relationships. Truth always does in a fallen world. Truth always does. Now, Christians must affirm God's revelation in nature and Scripture. God's given it to us to be truth tellers. Loving truth tellers. Christians, that's what you are in this world. You're surrounded by liars who are lying all the time. They know they're lying. They know that you know that they're lying. But everyone just keeps lying. And it's cool, right? That's what's going on. Can you see it? It's as plain as the nose on my face. We're lying to each other. We built a political reality around sheer lies. And if we can get people saying, yeah, okay, I'll buy that lie, what other lies can we make them buy, folks? How far down the road can we go with this one? When people are willing to lie, know they're lying, and sit there and act like they're not. Christians, will we be a part of that? Or will we be Christians and speak the truth in love? For the last 15 minutes, let's look at navigating truthfully then in faith. And this is where the kind of rubber meets the road. And I tell you, I'm not very good at this. So I kind of want your help. I want you to kind of fill in where I've not been able to sit there at my computer and think through all of the eventualities that we run into, that we run into in life. Right? That's what I'm trying to kind of focus on here. So that bullet point, issues, names. When Betty becomes Robert. Okay, there's an issue there. Pronouns, when he becomes she or z or whatever else. I mean, that's just a rolling punchline as far as I'm concerned, the crazy amount of pronouns. Anyway. Bathrooms. That's been an issue for years now. Right? Feminism. See, one thing feminism has going for it is it purports at least to represent, say, half of the world that are actual women. The good numbers right there. I'll tell you what. Where transgenderism makes a mess of feminism. Right? Because it gets a bunch of men in there doing man things. Anyway, so feminism and transgenderism really are at odds more and more, and we'll see it. I have a hand here.
Well, it's just that was really striking to me that you don't see more feminists now against feminism. Because the whole idea of feminism is to empower women to be all they can be in their own world.
Yeah, sure. At very best, that's it. So, yeah. Yeah, Rowling.
As soon as she came out against him, she was, talk about getting canceled, a cancel culture.
Yeah, right.
They come down on him really hard. She got, and you haven't heard a word from her since then.
Yeah.
So,
that's
I think that's part of it, that counterculture thing.
No question. Good. So that's a dimension in this whole thing. There are a lot of dimensions in this that I'm like kind of going through and saying, we haven't really talked about this so much. And this, what we call cancel culture is one of the aspects, one of the dimensions. Intersectionality is another one that I really want to talk about so that we kind of get what's going on there and see how people are thinking. Because they really are processing. There's a whole few generations of academic scholarly apparatus and here that people are resting on that we don't even know. In fact, we hear and think that's crazy. But it's like what they're taking is like, you know, that's their basis in academic circles and so on. So there's a lot of that. And kind of get back to this one, feminism, which at the very best says women, be glorious women. If that's what feminism said, I'd be on it. I'd be a feminist. I'm not, because they don't say that. But if they did, or maybe that's close to what they could say on their best day, it runs right afoul of transgenderism. It's like, oh, okay, we got a problem here because women are women, right? And men are men, right? Transgenderism says no. Those are just socially conceived categories. Again, I urge you to go in the bathroom and check and see if you got a third option. You don't. And to do that, I guess you have to go in the bathroom together and check. So I'll take that back. Don't do that. Yeah.
So the feminism that you describe sounds somewhat different, as I recall, from the lady and husband of last year's camp that described feminism.
Oh, sure. So, I mean, in feminism in the sense of that maybe the best possible light of just trying to encourage women to be women, which really isn't feminism. In my reading and understanding, it's not really how it works. In fact, it's closer to having women to be men. That's probably closer to the real meaning. So then when you actually press into feminist theory, what's going on, you get the mess that we ran into that we were talking about at camp. I'm kind of putting the best face on it here to say, hey, this is against transgenderism, which it is, because at least feminism is for women, and transgenderism says, well, that's just a social category. Right, so you can see how they're going to run afoul of each other. I'm not interested in talking about feminism now so much, just to mention that it's on the list of issues. Right, feminists have issues with transgenderism as well. They should. Okay, where's the rest of the list? Here we go. Sports and competition. That's an obvious one. This is the only time I've really liked sports. This is the first time in my life I've really liked sports for an intellectual reason, because they manifest how crazy this is. How crazy it is. I mean, it's crazy. Okay, and it's like everyone looks at it and goes, what's going on? But it's still going on. The lie is still being told. And who's getting hurt by the lie? The transgender folks? For certain. The girls. The girls. The girls are getting messed over for sure. So we see that in sports and competition. No need to continue to get in that. That's the place. That's the obvious one. Everyone sees it there. And that's the place, I think, for us to grab onto it. Do you see what's going on over here? Do you see the records of girls that they set over the course of years just being wiped out by guys? Do you see the scholarships for girls to go to school being taken away by guys? Do you see women getting their skulls crushed in MMA by guys in a skirt who say they're a chick? And on, and on, and on, and on, and on, right in everyone's faces. And we all say, this is great. Because we love lies. Satan loves lies. The father of lies. Sinners love lies. We tell each other lies, and we believe them. And we destroy ourselves in it. Sports and competition. Military. That's currently an issue. Right? The yuck factor. That's a big issue for folks. I was just walking through Walmart and saw a dude dressed up like a lady and thought, this is the ugliest lady I've ever seen. Just repulsive. There's the yuck factor. Right? I mean, that's a true reality. It's a true thing that people have to deal with. And it's one of the things I think that conservatives really need to kind of get under control is their gag reflex. He's got to get it under control. They've got to deal with it. This is the world we're in. Quit gagging at it and get real about it. But that is a real thing to deal with. You got to keep your food down. Exposure to youth of extreme perverted sexuality. The youth are being used as proxies in a culture war. I want this. This is my view of society where everyone has the freedom just to self-express and be whoever they are. Everyone gets along and flowers fly through the air and into utopia we go. All on the backs of girls. Shame on them. And shame on us for letting them do it. And not standing up to speak up for the girls. Men. All three in here. That's our job, to protect these girls from the perverted wickedness of this transgender lie. And other things as well. But that's what we have in focus here. Okay, those are some of the issues. Now, how they come into family. What do you do when family members are taken in with the sinful confusion? That could be in our own immediate families. Because this stuff's peddled hard at school and everywhere else, right? So it's coming across the desks of our kids. And what happens? What happens when a cousin, or maybe it's easier to say an auntie, becomes an uncle? So, okay, well, what do you talk to? Well, you got to talk to the kids about it, right? How do you do it? I don't think there's an easy answer here. I think this is just hard stuff of life. And you have to make decisions. Okay, we're going to tell the kids this is going on. It's not like they haven't heard of trannies, right? And if you've gone to the library, you might have had a goofy transvestite reading, you know, Go Dog Go to your kids. Or Blueberries for Sal. Or whatever else, right? That's the introduction of this into the kids' world because they want to confuse them from the beginning. Just so untold confusion in the kids' minds. And let's see what comes up. You're neither a boy nor a girl, Jimmy slash Susie slash whatever. Just develop, right? And it's like, so they're going to be confused, but the truth of the matter is nature is such that God's made men and women. So they'll fall into that, but there's a tremendous amount of confusion along the way, which seems like it's the point. So as a family, how do you deal with that? Let me give, I think, one helpful kind of maybe place to stand. So we extend the courtesy to people all the time of using the name that they ask for. My full name's Timothy. I've not really ever asked people not to call me Timothy, but imagine I did. Don't call me Timothy, I don't like it. My brother-in-law, Jeff, he doesn't like his name Jeffrey, which makes his mom, Tutu, you know, tiny, sad, because she named him that. But he's like, I don't like Jeffrey, I don't like the way it sounds, just call me Jeff. And it kind of irritates him when people call him Jeffrey. Right? So if I want to irritate him, I call him Jeffrey. But the rest of the time, I just call him Jeff, right? That's a courtesy I extend to virtually everybody. You want to be called that? I'll call you that. That's your name, sure. Right? Names are important, but how we call people is how we call them, and I think we just generally extend that courtesy. Does that make sense? So if I got someone who looks like me walks up and says, hey, call me Betty. Okay. Betty it is. I'll call you whatever you want to be called. I don't have an issue with that. But when you say, use the pronouns in the English language that refer to a female for me. What they're asking is to conform nature to their lie. You see the difference? Call me what you want. Tim, Timmy, whatever. I got all kinds of handles. But our language admits of pronouns that reveal feminine and masculine. I'm masculine. Don't you doubt it. You're feminine. Right? The words we use reflect nature and reality. Transgenderism say, no, I'm going to remake reality and it's going to come out of your mouth. And you must say, no, it won't. You're an awesome man, an awesome boy. I want to see you grow up. I'm not going to call you she. This is not her, she. I think we have to draw a line with when people ask us to remake reality after their fancy. As Christians, we say, no, God has spoken. There's revelation in nature. You are a man, not a woman. And I'm not going to continue to lie to you. In fact, I might be the only, listen to this, listen carefully, the only person in your life right now, before you decide to get your genitals ripped off your body, who says, just slow down, tiger. Slow down. Are you so sure? Because people, when they detransition, that is to say, when they've gone and they've got their genitals torn off their body and remade, a few months down the road, a few years down the road, they regret it. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine having that regret? That's all I can imagine, is having that regret, right? But then when you have that regret, you're down the road. It's been done. That 14, 15-year-old girl who at school with her little group and Twitter friends decided they were all going to transition together when she hit 17, 18, or 20 and says, that was a huge mistake! Huge mistake! And nobody told me. Nobody. They all just say, hey, you're hated. And some people just cheer, yay, transition, you're going to be a girl now and you're, but whatever. Right? And that always goes on online. The great cheering is all online. It's not in person. Not the same as this. I hope you get that. That's the last thing on the list here. Social media transition. Big deal on that one. But people regret it. And they can't do anything about it. And the Christians, you truth tellers, will be the people in their lives. They'll look back on it and say, Alicia, she loved me enough to tell me this was the wrong path. Nobody else did. The counselors didn't. The doctors didn't. Even though it's their job, they're not doing it because they're scared too, right? They don't want to get a lawsuit when they have Susie coming in and saying, hey, I want to be Frank. Well, let's talk about that. Oop, there you go. ACLU's on them. Problems, right? So they just do it. Whatever the desires of this confused 15-year-old girl are, it's almost like the word of God. It's almost like a prophet who's speaking. You don't question that. But Christians must question it. We must speak the truth in love. And we may find we are the only, single, only person in their life that told the truth. Everyone else simply lied to them and let them lie to themselves. I hope you get that. I hope you get that. Yeah.
Just a comment I wanted to make, and it's kind of a practical thing. I don't know if you guys will air it this year, but I mean, being a counselor in the high schools is a touchy thing when you're trying not to compromise your Christian values when you're dealing with kids. And so you just come up with some, I guess, creative ways to handle it. And like, tomorrow the homosexuality thing was a big thing. When he would talk to kids, it's just generic, whether you're a girl, boy, whatever. You shouldn't be in a relationship at this age. You shouldn't be, you know, so that was generically his advice to everyone. So he wasn't picking on the homosexual kids or this kind of thing, just right. He gave that advice. And then now with the whole transgender thing, I've heard him talk recently saying he just doesn't use pronouns. He just uses their name.
Yeah.
So that he's not conforming to use the pronoun. It's just even to the point of awkwardness. He's just going to keep on saying their name versus using a pronoun.
That's good. That's a very helpful tactic. And there may be other tactics that are useful. And it's the more awkward it is, kind of the better.
The better.
Because you're showing how silly this creation. We got to all bend over backwards not to like be decreationists with you, right? And so on. So yeah, so that's good. There are maybe tactics, some ways to kind of like navigate. Especially, we'll move down to the next one at work, where it's like this is touchy stuff, or at school, you know. And so very, very quick, we have employers in the room. Does this kind of stuff mess with being an employer? You bet it does. Yeah. Yeah, so I get the question. Remember a few weeks ago, I think Bob asked, where is this going on? Sneaking everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Look around. I mean, we live out here. We're isolated and we're insulated, and we really are. And praise the Lord. Thank God for that. Okay? Thank God for the privilege of being insulated from the madness of the world and its sin. But we're only a little bit insulated. Only a little bit. And thank God for it. But we need to be ready. And the tide, it's not like, I think the tide's rising down there. It's not like that. Okay? When I notice something going on, it's already going on. Let's put it down. Okay? So this is something that we need to be thinking about right down to our very own families. How we deal with our own families, how we deal with employees or being an employee. Because, hey, you're working at Coca-Cola, guess what? It's going to be tough on you. You got all this training, right? All this is built in, and whoever says they want to be called what, you got to do it. This is company policy. Work this way down. And have you noticed any companies kind of jumping on the bandwagon here in, say, the last week with woke stuff? Yeah. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Like, the bunch of executives from hundreds of huge companies got together. This is what they're doing. This is what they're doing. They're kowtowing and being bullied by the lawsuits of a very, very thin section of the population who come and say, you do it like this, and they get people in the HR department, and then they develop their own following within the company. It's like a cancer. And suddenly the company can't get rid of it, and it controls the company. That's what's going on. Is it important? We'll see. We'll see if there is a division, if Vody Balkum is right. I just read a book of his called Fault Lines, which is about this in the church. If he's right, we'll see two evangelical churches. One that's social justice oriented, and the other that's not. That's biblically oriented. We want to be on the biblical side. But if you kind of think this is weird, and I'm talking about stuff that doesn't even touch down here, I think you'll find that it does. I think you'll really find that it does if you're willing to look into it. Yeah, Darlene.
Baker who, you know, used to bake the cake for the transgender couple, you know, kind of thing. You know, there's a million bakers. Why can't they find
if they walk by 30 to get to the one?
They want that baker.
Yeah,
they want
they're targeting them. Right.
Well, at work, you can hire someone. You can hire Ralph today. And she comes to work tomorrow as Sally. And she expects, and she's in your face. She expects you to even slip. You were used to calling him. Him.
Yeah.
And
you bet.
So that's their point.
Yep. This is how they bring people over. This is how they institute their takeover. And it won't be too long before other people stand up and say, you know, enough's enough and push back. We don't want to be the Christians who would just push back like some kind of tax revolt or something like that. It's not it. We have something different to stand on, the Word of God, a different message to give, redemption in Jesus Christ, and wickedness of sin before a holy God, by the way. Not just, I don't think this works socially, but this is wickedness before God, and call people to repentance. So we have a different message as Christians. But you're absolutely right. It just comes in, and of the nature of the case, anyone who wants to push it, they're going to make a problem. And it's going to make a problem for you. Okay? They're pushing it on you, your business, your home, your institution of some sort, church, and so on. Okay, education. Do they push this stuff in schools?
Yes.
Is water wet? So one thing, again, our insular, that is to say, our like being an island and put away from other things, we're homeschoolers, so we don't really think this is a big deal. But I think if we just put ourselves for a handful of minutes in the public school system and just listen like a fly on the wall, we would be aghast at what goes on. And that's even in schools where they have good Christians who are trying to teach and be faithful within the public school system, but they can't compete against that one homosexual or one transgender guy who is in his classroom with all the paraphernalia out. Like, this is my sister-in-law, Michelle, up in Bellevue. She can't put a cross in a room. She can't do it. But this guy can come in and have every kind of paraphernalia and, you know, for his political social positions, and that's okay. And in fact, it's taken over the whole school, which is what it does. Okay, so bear in mind that at the end here, education, it's kids, right? They're after kids. They're after children, and they're willing to sacrifice children to see their notions of society come to pass. Their righteousness. The kids are worth sacrificing. Okay? It's okay that we have lots of detransitioners that regret. It's all right. That's all part of the cost, I guess, for having the right and just society and the utopia that we seek, which really is hell. Okay? That's the utopia they seek. Hell. They don't know it. They think they're thinking something different. So, I hope that's enough, at least as far as trying to deal with what we've dealt with, homosexuality and transgenderism. These are sins. And we need to make sure, this will be the last thing I say, that we don't treat every sinner like as if they're just sheer embodiments of the sinful, you know, structure and ideas. Right? So you run into this person who's confused and the boy thinks he's a girl. All this stuff isn't in that person. Right? We need to meet that person and talk to that person and connect to that person and bring the truth of God to that person in their situation, and not just think they're part of this transgender machinery like we got to figure it out. Does that make sense? Sometimes we treat people like they're the ism. We need to understand the ism. We need to be clear about it, and we're trying to make some steps toward that. But to do that, in order to come to somebody and say, here's the truth. Here's what God has said. And we bear the truth. Christians, we speak the truth in love. We don't tell lies because we're fearful or because we just want to kowtow to someone else's desires. That's sin. We speak the truth in love. Let's pray.